It's a new semester. We're learning Drashot Ran. Ran was Rabbeinu Nisim. He lived in the city of southern Spain called Barcelona. He was rabbi after the Rashba. We have the Ramban, Nachmanides. We have the Rashba. We have the Ran. The Ran was considered the Gadol Hador, the leader of the generation. The Ran had famous students, including Rav Chisdai Kriskas, who wrote the philosophical work Or Hashem. The Ran was considered the scion, the great giant of Torah in his day. The Ran was incarcerated under false pretenses at a point in his life. They decided he was a thief, so they took the chief rabbi and his student, the Rivan, they put him in jail, and afterwards, of course, they discovered, wow, he's not a thief. But he spent a nice amount of time in jail for no real allegations, just they decided to put him in jail. His student, after seeing that, decided that he's leaving. He's not taking over after his rabbi. He's not willing to put up with that type of treatment. And he traveled southward. But the Riva, the Ran student. So the Ran was the head of an academy. The Ran wrote a commentary on the Rif. And the Ran also wrote these wonderful speeches that cover many, many, many concepts in Jewish thought. And we studied under the Drashot Aran the concept, the question of whether the whole is greater than its parts, where the Ran brought different opinions between Shlomo HaMelech and Kohelet and sources in Torah. The Ran discussed what was the transgression that Moshe Rabbeinu did when he hit the rock. We had a whole speech about that. Right now we're up to a speech, we learned a speech about the relationship between Esav and Yaakov. What you guys asked last night is really a whole speech in the Drashot Aran. What Michael asked last night about how could Yaakov take Esav's lot if Esav was the firstborn? That's a whole speech in the Aran, just the topic of the relationship between Yaakov and Esav. We had a whole speech about the concept of truth in Torah. How can it be that the rabbis can come to different conclusions over time? We're supposed to adhere to those conclusions if there's a truth and the Torah represents truth. How can that change? What does that mean that the rabbis come to a vote? God has an opinion, so to speak. God gave the Torah. What did God want when he gave the Torah? And we have sources in Chazal that show us that in Shemayim there is an opinion. And sometimes the rabbis rule against that opinion and the rabbis tell us, well, a heavenly voice came out and said, we're wrong, but we're doing what we think. How could you do that? So the Ran went into that whole concept, the idea of our responsibility to define Torah, which stems from last week's Parsha, where the Torah says, "Al pi haTorah asher yorucha," the High Court will instruct you how to interpret Torah. So that was a whole long speech, very important concepts of what does it mean, truth in Torah? What is the rabbinic responsibility in interpreting the Torah? What does it mean that when God gave the Torah, He showed Moshe Rabbeinu 49 ways of interpreting it one way, 49 ways of interpreting the other way, and said, now it's up to you with the courts to decide how you're going to define the Torah. You'll come to a vote. So the Ran covers phenomenal concepts in basic Jewish thought. I chose the Ran for us to learn because in Machon Meir, we very much learn the path of Rav Kook. And the philosophical path of Rav Kook goes in line with the philosophical path of the Kuzari and the Maharal. And that is one line of reasoning in Jewish thought. There are many concepts that they build in the same direction. And I wanted to expand your horizons, being that the Ran takes an approach that's very different from them. And when one learns only one line of reasoning, one gets the feeling this is what Judaism is. And I want you to see the breadth, that there are differences, there are marked differences between the Maharal and the Ran, between Rav Kook and the Kuzari and the Ran. And that's why I wanted us to get a taste of that, and that was one of the big reasons why we're studying for the last 5 years the Drashot Aran, to help you see the breadth. See the Maharal, see Rav Kook, see the Kuzari. Well, once a week we get 20 minutes of seeing the Drashot Aran. Yes?
Can the Rav summarize how these differences show themselves in different cases, like just at a high level? Because I wasn't aware that that was the...
No, not at all. That's a very nice thing to say. Just summarize this book. Well, it doesn't work that way.
In terms of the approach, there's no...
No.
There's no like general claim of like what the differences are?
No. I would say that the Maharal and the Kuzari repeatedly stress the unique spiritual attributes of the Jewish people and the patriarchs, and they very much make a central theme of the idea that there is this unique soul to the Jewish people, unique soul to the patriarchs, unique decision in heaven that we're going to be the chosen people. And that is really a discussion, whether our actions bring about us being the chosen people. Are there actions that brought it? Or was it a decision in advance where Hashem said, I'm going to create something special. I'm going to create a special soul of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, a special people. The general approach that the Ran repeatedly takes is very, very logical. So if Rambam says in the name of logic that there's nothing to paganism and idol worship, so the Ran argues back in the name of logic, you can't look at whole people, the people of Israel and all the pagans around them, and say they were all stupid. They must have seen some correlation between their worship to the idol and seeing blessing in their life. So the Rambam will say, you want to see it, you do see it. Yeah, if you imagine things are going to happen, so then things do happen. And the Ran says, no, there must be forces out there that they would tap into. So the Ran's approach is very focused on developing things from a logical perspective. How can we see it? How can we understand it? That doesn't mean that you can forecast where the Ran's conclusion is going to lie. Rambam reaches one conclusion in the name of logic, and Ran reaches the equal and opposite conclusion in the name of logic as well. It's hard to summarize a philosophical approach of the Ran or the Maharals, but when you learn Maharal is so powerful in presenting his case. Maharal will sometimes quote a line from Rambam, not to tell you it's Rambam, and write, and don't consider saying, and then quote the Rambam verbatim, and then he says, there's no such logic, you can't say that, in Judaism that doesn't work, this isn't our approach. He's very powerful in the way he expresses things. And if you didn't see that he's actually quoting a Rambam, then you walk away feeling like, okay, this is what Judaism is, now I know. And that's why I felt it's important, you guys should see. There are different approaches. We have to see them, know them, learn them, glean from their wisdom.
This fits into what you said before about the 49 ways we can show 49 ways against. If you have two people who disagree with this, you know, disagree, they take a different approach. Right? Cook, Kuzari, Maharal, Tanya, they're choosing like a different species.
Right.
And then I think it's huge that we get this too, but it's also great that you can say, because I remember that class, it's very powerful with Iran. Any thinking person would, the logic was the way to go, idolatry. But yet, if the same source as Ram, you could say, yeah, it's not the way to go.
Right.
So it's like, it's important, I think, to get, otherwise you get so locked in that you know, who are these other people?
Yeah. There's someone else with their hand up?
I had a question, but
okay, Yisha Kach. So let's at least begin.